Hey, gangs. It's the Stunker Any Audio. This is Jeremy, and Kevin's with me this week, so it's Woo-hoo! No audio experience. Yeah.
Hey, you could still have it this week. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I don't know. After last week where Dusty wasn't allowed to get a word in edgewise, we might have to take a week off from it just so, you know.
So that him and Eric can actually talk back and forth.
Yeah, so Eric, yeah, so they can have an actual conversation about things. So, but based off of that, Kevin wanted me on a show to talk about TNA because apparently someone didn't listen last week. So,
well, I did listen last week, but there isn't much to talk about with the WWE this week.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the show, but, like, I don't know how to adequately describe it. Like, I saw it, like, on a couple of write-ups, people shitting on it, and I'm like, well, what the fuck were they supposed to do? Like, they had something probably semi-mapped out with the Raw wrestlers.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, they knew ahead of time, but still, what can you do still to hype? Like, they actually hype pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
Going into them. So what can you do when you don't have everybody there that are in the matches?
Right. Well, the majority of the guys aren't the majority of the people on the pay-per-view weren't in country.
Yeah, like, they were just kind of fucked. And, wow, that whole MacGruber thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't watch Saturday Night Live.
Dude, that movie's going to be the next Austin Powers, though.
Is it?
The R-rated previews that they've shown.
Oh, it's R-rated?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the R-rated stuff, like a Red Band trailer they showed for that thing, is hilarious.
Really?
Yes. I didn't think it was going to be worth a shit. And they showed some of the jokes and stuff on there. It was fantastic.
Okay. Maybe so. I won't take a dump on it then, because... Because it's one of those things that it's just like,
yeah.
Okay, like, with the way he was acting last night, I'm like, okay, it's like MacGyver, except for everything goes wrong.
Which, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which to me isn't that funny. Like, I'm like, and it seems way, I mean, I know that the 80s are back in style, but wow, yeah. If you go back and watch MacGyver, it sucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I loved that thing when I was growing up, and yeah. It is awful.
Well, that's the whole thing with MacGruber. It was only like a 15-second skit on Saturday Night Live. They'd be like, oh, God, can you help us out, MacGruber? And he's like, sure. And he starts talking about something, and then the bomb goes off. I mean, they always die in MacGruber sketches.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I know. It's a great way to describe it, apparently. So.
Well, no, I mean, that explains why R-Truth blew up last night.
Yes. Well, yeah, and that's like the gimmick in the movie, in the preview for it. He's like, yeah, I've got the blah, 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 and all of a sudden his van blows up. And he runs in, he runs to it like, oh my God, someone please tell me this is a joke. This has got to be a joke, please. So, and it's got a fat Val Kilmer in it.
Oh, yeah, Val Kilmer. I can't believe he decided to come out of the woodwork because he was fat.
Well, I mean, I guess making straight-to-video movies isn't doing it anymore. So maybe he can write some more songs. But
well, maybe
anyways,
if he does comedy, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Go back to his real genius days.
Well, you know they're remaking that thing, supposedly? There's no reason to remake Real Genius.
No.
That thing's perfect the way it is.
Yeah, it's like one of the best comedies ever, and
yeah. You're
gonna fucking remake it.
Yeah, and then it was that and House Party they're gonna remake. House Party, I don't care. So.
God, yeah.
Maybe they could remake it and make it good.
Yeah, and you know, Kid and Play will get their cameo as like something or another.
Well, hopefully, because those two tchotchkes probably need jobs, so. But anyways, yeah, the MacGruber stuff, there's also, the reason that they were doing all that is Chris Jericho's in it, the Great Khali, Mark Henry, and Kane are all in MacGruber.
Oh, okay.
I guess they must form, like, his team.
Well, and that makes a little more sense why they had that on there, too.
Yeah, that's why Kane suddenly showed up, too. And Great Khali was on the show.
Yeah, he came back from his visit back to his homeland.
Yeah, to the recharge his batteries or whatever. So, but, yeah, Raw just seemed like a waste. It was like they didn't want to cancel the show, but they didn't want to put any effort. Didn't want to put any effort into it.
Yeah, that was exactly it. Like, it was like, why couldn't you just move? And then I'm like, well, fuck, they tape, you know, SmackDown on Tuesdays, so it's not like you could really use the SmackDown stuff on Raw and
right.
then come up with something even more
mm-hmm.
for Tuesday.
Yeah, or just, I don't know. I was watching the beginning, and I didn't mind the whole Triple H thing.
Aside from the bad, it's not even hack at this point to make fun of Jersey. Like, it's less than a hack joke to make fun of Jersey.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
Well, CM Punk was definitely going for the cheap heat thing where he's like, Jersey sucks. I was like, really? I was like, that's just... Why, when you go to Raw, why do you all of a sudden, like, pander to the crowd, you know?
Yeah, just do your regular shtick and
yeah.
it'll be all good.
But, anyways, it was cool seeing Punk in a live setting, though. So.
Yeah.
But Raw was rather uneventful. I mean, the only other thing that was cool about it was, and it wasn't a great match, but Jack Swagger didn't look out of place with The Undertaker.
No.
To me, he didn't, at least.
He looked pretty damn good. Like, and that's it. I've never had a problem with his wrestling. It was just weird to see him bumped from, you know, jobber status, essentially, to, you know, main event. I know I've said it before, but,
yeah.
You know, and plus, like, these last two opponents, did he fight Kane on SmackDown this past week?
You know what? I accidentally deleted SmackDown this week, so I missed it.
Well, whoever it was, is that sometimes they always say, oh, you don't realize how big Jack Swagger is. And, like, having him fight two of the, like, legitimately tallest guys in the company
mm-hmm.
back-to-back, I think, you do kind of put it into perspective a little bit more as to how tall he is.
Yes, that's very good, actually, because that actually surprised me. When he was standing toe-to-toe with Undertaker, I was like, wow, they're kind of the same height.
Yeah.
I mean, Undertaker gave him just enough so he didn't look totally bad. And I'm not sure with Jack Swagger, I'm not real into the whole, he's that weak of a champion that he's always losing.
Well, and that's the problem, is just like, wow, you've stuck. Like, they didn't have anywhere to go with him, honestly. Like, how can you have him lose? How can you have The Undertaker, who just retired, Shawn Michaels, lose to him?
Right.
And Randy Orton is kind of like, well, no, we can't really have him lose to Randy Orton either.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've just put him in a bad situation to me.
Well, I didn't mind it using Randy Orton to, like, you know, set up a feud with Randy Orton. And, yeah, I mean, I know Swagger's beaten, was it Kofi? No, I'm sorry, I'm getting Sheamus and him mixed up. Never mind. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's, Eric and I were talking about today, thinking that Randy Orton's probably going to beat Swagger for the belt at Extreme Rules, which I don't agree with. I mean, if you're going to bump somebody up, bump them up. Give him the ride and see what happens. But,
well, that, and I mean, Punk and, I don't know, Edge did lose it. He even said he lost it 3 weeks later.
Yeah, the John Cena at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of a different time of the year. I mean, they're past the Rumble, they're past WrestleMania. I don't even care if he loses it at the next whatever the next pay-per-view is. You know, just at least give him a little more airtime with it.
Yeah, but see, I think that's the problem, though, is if he does lose to Randy Orton, I just see him getting bumped back down again. And then they'll be like, well, this is a cooling-off period. You know, that bullshit they always pull.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's
But they have such a weird, like, mid-card sometimes. It's kind of like, oh, was that? No, I'm not even looking at results. I was thinking R-Truth at some point, but anywho. But, you know, like, they've bumped down John Morrison enough. Well, John Morrison lost to him. Or he beat John Morrison. So, like, that's a guy that they can't use. R-Truth just lost to somebody this past week, and I can't think of who it is.
Well, R-Truth, beating R-Truth gets you nothing. So.
No, but I mean, they had started to push him, so you could at least feed him to Jack Swagger to go, okay, he beat a decent opponent while not handing him, like, let's just say JTG or something like
Yeah.
that. You know, somebody that really means nothing to win against.
I don't know. It just I'm gonna be really disappointed if he loses the belt. And then I think that, I mean, there's still a feud with Chris Jericho there. There's a feud with Edge, but then also Monday is the draft.
Yeah,
So it's possible, Randy Orton wins and he goes to SmackDown and, the champions don't go and play. So that Randy Orton and John Cena stick with their own, the only new brands now, so that way they don't have to worry about drafting. Like they keep doing the drafting champions crap. So,
that would be the only thing that would aggravate me about that
yeah,
situation. Because Orton is not needed over there.
I think Orton needs to get away from Raw for a while, and
Oh,
I don't.
okay.
Well, this is what Eric and I were talking about, was I don't think he and Edge ever feuded. After Rated RKO broke up, they never really feuded. So you've got something there. You've got the Chris Jericho Randy Orton feud. I don't remember that ever happening. And then if you got Swagger over there, if he stays over there, you can have that as well. So I think there's more possibilities and there's fresher matchups for Orton to go over to SmackDown right now. I mean, barring that they don't just move everybody around, of course. But
Right.
I don't know. That's all I was thinking was it seems like a fresh thing. And if I mean mock it if you want, but then you got Shad, who they seem to want to build up as, a monster right now.
Yeah,
So.
no. He has the size. We'll see if he has the mic skills. Since
He's done well so far.
yeah, JTG did more of the talking for the group, so
Right.
it'll be interesting.
Right.
But yeah, he definitely has the size that the
Yeah.
WWE likes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
And
I
he's
guess
better in the ring
let's
than
get
him.
into the TNA stuff since that's really all that was memorable about Raw.
Well, and that I think that's the big thing too. Do you think that they decided this stuff before the volcano eruption, or do you think they're like, okay, you know what? We pretty much have a captive audience for this Monday. Let's really try to throw down the hammer.
Now, who are you talking about? TNA?
TNA.
No, they didn't know any of this shit was gonna happen. Please, they may. All right, they
They
may
had
have
5 days
last
of
week.
planning.
They may have last week gone, you know what? WWE may be in trouble, and then the whole room went, "What's WWE?" And then started eating paste. That's how their meetings went. So no, I don't.
Well,
I have the hardest time thinking they actually thought this out.
okay.
With the people in charge? No, not a chance.
I was impressed by the fact that they actually don't say WWE by name anymore. I'm like, oh, wow, you guys have gotten at least this smart. It's not much, but it's something.
Right.
Awesome.
All right, let's just talk about TNA. I don't want to get into the getting smarter shit because they're not. There's no.
No. Well, and that was the other thing is that, as an overall whole, I thought last night for TNA worked pretty well, which is why I wanted to mention it and bring it back up. But that's the problem, is this one of those Even a blind squirrel finds a nut kind of situations.
Yes. And the reason I'm saying that is I caught some of Lockdown. This is definitely a blind squirrel catching a nut situation. The ang I saw parts of the pay-per-view. I'm not gonna say I watched all of them, but the Kurt Angle Mr. Anderson match was really good. I mean, as dumb as it was for Angle to do some of the stuff he did, it was still a good match. So I'm, you know, not gonna sit there and deny that. But that has nothing to do with them. That's two guys wrestling. So then they had a tag team match between the Motor City Machine Guns, and it's a fundamental problem with the Lockdown pay-per-view anyways, where matches shouldn't be in steel cages to begin with. So, I mean, Rob Van Dam versus James Storm lasted 6 minutes, and then they're back out for the main event at the end. And then how the main event ended, and this is what I can't believe reading the reviews and that no one got all over this. The end of the Lockdown main event, Jeff Hardy climbs a ladder on top of the cage and does a very safe splash from the ladder. And that was fine. It was a cool looking spot, and you know, it got Jeff Hardy the pop that, you know, he always wants to get. Any of the momentum in this match was killed with the out of shape Sting, the old no one cares Jeff Jarrett, the retarded guy Abyss. Jeff Hardy took out both beer money, both of beer money. So then it left. Who's the other guy that no one cares about? Oh, Desmond Wolfe.
Oh, I'm
and.
gonna say Robert Roode.
So, I mean, I'm forgetting some of the players in here, but the reason I forget the players is at the end,
Because they're all forgettable.
Ric Flair gets involved, then Hulk Hogan comes down, and they're going to start fighting. Well, Hogan's got a bat and is going to beat Ric Flair with it, because, you know, that's what baby faces do. And then Eric Bischoff comes in the ring, convinces Hogan to give the bat away. Then Eric Bischoff pulls brass knuckles out, fakes like he's going to give them to Ric Flair, hands them to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan then goes, oh, the crowd shits on it, and then he beats up Flair till he's bloody with brass knuckles. Then all of a sudden someone goes, oh, the match has to end. Abyss picks somebody up, I don't remember who the fuck it was by this point, pins him for the three count.
Think it was Desmond Wolfe from if memory serves from reading the review.
And it was just like, what the fuck was this? It was there was so, there were old men and non-wrestlers standing around. It was just awful. I mean, the result didn't matter at all. Then Hulk Hogan said he was gonna retire, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter too. Like there was, they weren't battling for
No.
anything. You know, like Hogan said he was gonna walk away, but it's like, and that was one of the problems that I had with Impact on Monday here, is that they were talking about the power struggle between Flair and Hogan, and I'm like, what power struggle?
Yeah, what power?
Yeah, Flair has no power. None. Like, whatsoever. He's a manager.
There's more of a mascot, really, if you think about it. But yeah.
Fucktarded mascot.
Yeah. So Lockdown ends, and I felt really vindicated in saying what a shit company TNA was. So then you text me Friday or yesterday after seeing Kick-Ass. I get your text, and yes, I saw that green monster jumping up and down. Was it the person in green? Or the person
Oh,
in red?
yeah.
It was
It
either
was
green or red.
the woman in green.
Oh my God, hopping up and down when RVD won. That was the funniest shit I've seen in a while. But
Oh,
anyways, getting ahead of
man.
myself. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch TNA, see what's going on. And you know, the opening segment, it's It's as if somebody totally different wrote the show. And that's a positive, and it was actually enjoyable. I mean, it went on a little too long, but it was clear, it was concise, it was to the point. And then, you know, I didn't really care for what came out of it or, you know, how they went about things, because RVD versus Jeff Hardy and an RVD versus AJ Styles should have been pay-per-view matches, not on free TV.
Yep, that was the other thing that was a bit of a problem to me, especially with a clean finish.
Right.
To both of them.
And, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. But anyways, I liked it, and then Hogan came out, and I was like, oh, God. But then Hogan came out, and some of that stuff he was saying, you could kind of tell it was genuine. I mean, what he said is what happened to him. He became champion. He became the face of WWF. Vince McMahon pushed him like crazy, and he made a shitload of money by being the champion in face of the World Wrestling Federation. So I thought it was really cool to see him come out and say all that stuff and, like, just give you a little twinge, like, you know what? He's actually believing what he's saying. So I just thought that was cool. So, but then I don't remember, I think the next segment they were talking about, there was Ric Flair talking to AJ Styles and Borash sneaks in and all this stuff.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Although at least it did give that hidden camera thing some type of actual decent placing. Like, normally they're, like, right up on top of somebody. It was nice to see it through a doorway.
Yeah.
So that at least it was like, okay, maybe they forgot to shut the door, although I'd always remember to shut the door because it'd drive me fucking bananas to see a door open like that. But
yeah. But no, but I think that goes to the part where the show was written by someone totally different.
Oh.
It's just the weirdest damn... Last night's Impact was the weirdest Impact I've ever seen because of how clear everything was. It was just strange. It's very un-TNA-like. I mean, RVD came out, and he was kind of himself. He's not the same way he used to be, but, you know, when he was mocking AJ Styles, like, that's what you call a crowd reaction, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. I mean, I think it was Powell that was defending it. The crowd was just chanting, AJ sucks, and I'm like, I'm sorry, there's a difference between, like, the crowd chanting AJ sucks and, like, the crowd pretty much going bananas for RVD.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. I was really kind of taken aback by the opening segment. And then... they had the whole... I mean, there's still the clunker stuff. The guys they insist on pushing. Like, Rob Terry coming out...
Yeah, there were some other downsides that still crop their ugly heads.
Yeah,
Rob Terry definitely one of them. He screwed up a gorilla press slam.
Yeah,
not once, but like twice.
Well, they make you big, not strong. You know, you know what I mean.
So. Yeah, no, exactly. And it doesn't teach you technique either, like. You know, yeah, he's probably not lifting straight up over his head when he's actually doing weights.
I don't know.
Great, bench 500 pounds. It doesn't really mean all that much.
Yeah, that is one of the more baffling pushes I've seen.
Oh, yeah, by any organization. Like, as much as sometimes I even hate the WWE's choices, that one belongs in the Shitsville category.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think the big difference, besides those guys, I mean, you know, you got Rob Terry, they're still pushing Abyss way too hard. And Hogan wearing an Abyss, that's a hard thing to say, Abyss's shirt. It's just kind of stupid, you know?
Well, that and, like, and this is something that applies to Luke Gallows and also applies to Abyss, is that sometimes you can have too much stuff going on with your ring gear, even if you don't have that much stuff going on with it.
Yeah.
And Abyss, with the Anarchy symbol that's now in yellow and red, it's not good. It looks bad. Like, it was much better when it was all black, because I think it was always there, and I think it was all black. And it made some sense, at least at that point, you know, because it was there, but it wasn't. It just kind of had a different texture to it. Yeah, and Hogan wearing that shirt. And speaking of shirts, I couldn't believe that RVD and I believe Jeff Hardy both had their own shirts.
They weren't wearing lockdown shirts, you're right.
Yeah. Thank God. You know, I'm like, wow, TNA actually got around to making shirts. They realized that they're in the merchandise business now. Good for them.
Well, those are the aspects of the business that I expected Hogan and Bischoff to bring in. Not all of this weirdo psycho booking and on-the-fly crap and bringing in the Nasty Boys and all that. That was the kind of stuff I expected them to bring in. And be like, no, do it this way, do it this way, do it this way, you know?
Yeah.
But I think...
Oh, okay, go ahead.
No, hit up. I have nothing more to add to that, so...
Well, okay, and just another one of those, it was a weird and random thing going on. What's his name? Orlando Jordan, talking about one of the bad pickups. He just came out for like 5 seconds during a match, and I'm not sure if they ever showed him again.
No. No, that's his gimmick. He's the try anything or trisexual. Is that what they're called? They'll try anything.
Well,
wake me up when we're done talking about Orlando Jordan, okay?
There's only two of them, so you know it's got to be bisexual. He can call himself trisexual if he fucking feels like it, but
yeah.
Unless he, like, hooks up with dogs or goats or something fucking completely disturbing.
God. Yeah. See, I actually thought this was a positive episode of Impact after my rant last week. But now that you mentioned Rob Terry, Orlando Jordan, I'm like, you know what?
Well, and so,
if you got a Twinkie and you drizzle shit on it, it's still a shit-covered Twinkie, so...
Well, and that, I think that's the other reason why, you know, for all the positives that came out of it, you know, good matches, RVD had two good matches. Granted, I skipped the first one with Jeff Hardy more than the last one with AJ Styles. There was still other just bizarre shit going on, like... I loved how they brought Samoa Joe back, and he just came in, whooped ass, threw down a muscle buster, and walked off. I was like, okay, they get it. No face paint, back to the old trunks, even as shitty looking as they are, they're better than the other stuff that he was wearing. I'm like, okay, good. But then... This just, and you're talking about this shit-covered Twinkie, it was a perfect example, because he does that, and what happens next? Ric Flair comes out, and he starts cutting a promo, but they immediately cut the commercial, so showing absolutely zero production value.
Yeah. And then go, this is what happened during the break. Well,
like, if it was only going to take that long, why didn't you stick around?
Right.
But see, for that extra 2 minutes before you went to commercial.
Yeah, and that's where, going back to the whole, someone else wrote the show. But then that part had somebody else's fingerprints on it. Because after the RVD Jeff Hardy match, which there's two ways of looking at the end of this match. I thought it should have just ended with like RVD getting the best of a roll up or a small package, like out wrestling Jeff Hardy. Because Jeff Hardy always said he wasn't a wrestler. He was a risk taker, he was a high flyer, whatever.
Yeah.
So I just thought, like, the decisive victory by Rob Van Dam with the frog splash and all that. I mean, they gave away the frog splash twice in one night. So I thought that was, I thought it would have been a little more special if that the match, the first match, would have ended, you know, convincingly, not like some fluke, like, you know, Jeff Hardy has his foot on the rope or something like that, but not right. Having him use his actual finisher, just so that there is some doubt, so they can have another match later on, instead of this buddy-buddy bullshit they're doing.
Oh, and that promo afterwards was so weird, gay, buddy-buddy.
Yeah, that's not Rob Van Dam.
No.
The character RVD, that is not him. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen him do.
Yeah, like, it was so bad. Like, I was just like, oh my god, I've got to flip back to Raw. Like, I know that there's nothing on there. Like, I think a MacGruber skit was on. I'm like, I don't care. Like, that's bad. But this RVD Jeff Hardy Love Festival is even worse.
Because it should have been RVD going, well, you know, you gave your best effort. It was a hell of a match. But you know who was going to win? Everyone knew who was going to win. I mean, that's how he used to be.
Yeah,
and that's what made him popular. Yeah. So, there's still some tweaks, but I don't know. I talked to Eric, and there were other people read other people we know, and they all agreed with the title change.
That was one thing that we didn't touch on going back to the beginning, which, although I think we've mentioned it before, AJ Styles just, he doesn't fit his character.
No. Nope.
In the least bit right now.
No. When you come out looking like a Chorus Line dancer with that ridiculous outfit, there's nothing wrong with the way AJ Styles used to dress to come to the ring. The flowers and all that shit don't... I'm sorry, the feather boa just doesn't work. It looks ridiculous. And he looks ridiculous in a Ric Flair robe.
Oh, yeah, especially when it was kind of like this long kind of flowing thing, and he is not any taller than me.
No.
I'm not very tall.
No, and...
it just doesn't work. It doesn't give it the long flowing look that it
exactly.
Should.
And not that Ric Flair was much taller, but it looked better on Flair.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan would look like a fucking idiot wearing a feathered robe, so...
Flair is a bit stockier than AJ Styles, too. Like, his outfit isn't... it's not slimming. And AJ Styles kind of... Man... I am just going fashionista on this one. but yeah, he just kind of needs something that kind of keeps him vertical, I guess. Like Flair, because he's kind of boxy in his build, it doesn't matter as much.
No, I know what you mean.
So.
But.
Yeah, and the sunglasses too. Like, I'm fine with the suits, but the sunglasses, they just don't go with the rest of the outfit. It's just like, I don't care if they're expensive. Like, it doesn't mean that... just because they're expensive doesn't mean it's good taste. Yeah.
No, AJ Styles wearing a suit, I don't mind. I think that's fine. But it's the wardrobe coming down to the ring that just gives a groan. But whatever.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But it was... I don't mind RVD winning. I thought it was a ballsy move to do on free TV. And, I mean, in all seriousness, I think Bischoff and Hogan, I'm not giving Russo any credit for this. I'm going to say Bischoff and Hogan said, WWE's in trouble this week with the wrestlers not being on. It's going to be a weird show. Let's, we brought RVD in. He's a top guy. you know, let's do something with this. And, you know, make it like the old Ric Flair stuff. You know, he'd lose the belt for a couple of months, he'd chase it, then come back and get it. And
plus, I mean, RVD has less legal trouble than one Jeff Hardy.
Yes, that's the big factor, yeah.
Which makes him a much better candidate to take the belt.
Yes.
And, yeah, and to chase AJ Styles, or if AJ Styles chases him around.
Yeah, well, but also RVD is going to be going to house shows, whereas, you know, AJ Styles was. But then none of the other top guys are. I mean, Kurt Angle doesn't go.
Kurt Angle's taking time off.
Yeah, which is good, because he should. He should take about 4, 5, 7 years off. And, you know, that's fine.
It's 4 weeks. I'll be shocked.
Didn't he say he was only taking a month off? Seriously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're Kurt Angle, I know this is all over the place, but if you're Kurt Angle, you've got that 24-year-old piece of ass on the line now. First, don't marry it. It's not going to work. Second, why wouldn't you want to stay at home?
I don't know. I don't know. Especially with the condition that his body has got to be in.
Now, it looks horrible on the outside. I can't imagine what it actually feels like and what's going on the inside. But
yeah.
But no, it's for as much as I actually did enjoy Impact, as an actual wrestling show, there was a lot of positives for him. The Samoa Joe thing, going back to what you said with that, and we'll get back to the RVD thing. I really liked the whole Samoa Joe thing. I thought that was really cool. I don't agree with him wearing a beard, because fat guys with fat faces shouldn't be wearing beards. It makes your face look even bigger. So just don't do it. But yeah, him coming out, just running roughshod on everybody and then leaving was really cool. So, and I hope... But with everything with TNA, there's a good and bad. He comes out, does that, which is good. And then Mike Tenay has to say... We haven't seen Samoa Joe in months after he was abducted. Don't bring up the whole abduction thing, stupid. Because it just makes your company look retarded.
Yeah, they really could have left well enough alone and just... just not really said anything. Because, yeah, he had that one segment in the... What, has it been 6 weeks that he's been gone?
It's been a while. It's been right, really.
Because it was 3 weeks, I thought, and then he showed up for that cryptic promo, and then I thought he took the last 2 weeks off.
Well, I know he wasn't, around in February. He left shortly after, or relatively after Hogan and Bischoff came in.
Yeah.
So it really has been a while. So...
Yeah, I mean, people with as quick as they burn through storylines, everyone probably forgot about it anyway, so, yeah, just shut up and don't say anything.
Exactly. There was that distraction, but, and then with the TNA title match, hang on.
Okay.
I thought I was going to sneeze. I've had a sneeze building up since Monday afternoon. If I don't sneeze sooner or later, my head's going to fucking explode when it finally comes out. Well, so hopefully it's not during this, because there's no way for me to stop this.
At least take a picture when your head explodes. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and this always drives me nuts, is when RVD... ended up beating AJ Styles for the belt. That's fine. You know, make the choice, make the decision now. Run with RVD as long as you can. They had a celebration as if they knew there was going to be a championship match that night. When in reality, the exact opposite was presented. AJ Styles wasn't there to defend the belt. And then second, why would you know he's going to lose the belt and have confetti, yellow and red confetti at that, ready to go? I mean, that just, I don't know, that just bugged me when I saw that.
Yeah, the fact that it was red and yellow kind of pissed me off, because I was like, well, red makes sense since it's TNA. And I believe there's some black in there too, but it's just like, not everything needs to be Hogan Keller's. I'm glad that they are a success, that it's a successful Keller scheme and all.
Right. It's, and then, they had that, and then Dixie Carter was brought in the ring. I was like, that's just stupid. Get your ass off TV, Toots. There's no reason for you to be on TV. All right?
Well, I thought they were just trying to, you know, give it more of a historic win feel to it. I'm like, if that's the only thing that she's used for, I'm fine. Like, I'm surprised they've honestly kept her off the off TV as much as they have since those two knuckleheads came in.
Yeah. All right. Here's my biggest problem with the celebration at the end. And I don't know if you caught this or not. RVD won the TNA Heavyweight Championship. The fucking belt was nowhere to be found.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn TNA on and you watch the celebration, you're like, what's going on? What is the big deal? Because there's confetti falling. And he's, you know, he's acting like he's just won the championship, and he's, you know, running around all the different ring ropes, and it's like, wow, did he win the belt? Well, no, I don't see it on him anywhere.
Yeah, they waited. Was it Dixie Carter or Hulk Hogan actually handed it to him?
Yeah. Why the hell did Hulk Hogan have it? Again, they set it up as if everyone knew that RVD was going to win. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
It's a nitpicky thing, and I understand that, but it makes sense. I mean,
anybody that thinks about it for, you know, any amount of time, and I obviously didn't. I was just too amazed by the whole title change itself that I didn't. Well, I thought about the belt aspect of it. I'm like, what the fuck? Where is the belt right now?
Yeah, I was like, referee, grab the goddamn belt already and give it to him. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's, I don't know. Because they should have just had him have the belt. And I know they wanted to make the moment special. So, you know, he had Rob Terry come out looking like he was going to fight somebody, not realizing, hey, stupid, you're out there to support the new champion and applaud.
Oh, yeah, that was just kind of weird. Like, just because they haven't really shown RVD with a whole lot of other people aside from Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird having all those guys come out there.
Well, the Dudleys made sense because of ECW. It would have been nice for TNA or Taz to actually acknowledge that.
Why would he? It's not like he wrestled in ECW. Oh.
Yeah.
He did.
But then, and I'm trying to wrap up here, so I shouldn't say this, but I just hope this doesn't mean Tommy Dreamer's going to come in and try and make an issue of it. You know, like, you know, Rob, you and I go back all the way to ECW and wait for the crowd cheers and that kind of shit.
If that crowd cheers for Tommy Dreamer, not that I don't think they're a bunch of morons anyway, but it's going to confirm it even more. I mean, Dreamer got some level of reaction from the WWE audience, but he beat his body up so much that he just can't really go anymore.
Yeah. But overall, I guess just for my own level, this was a perfect rebound episode of Impact. It had everything I bitched about last week was gone except for a few things. And yeah, I was a little nitpicky with this episode, but it was still light years better than any episode of Impact's been in a long time, because they cut their roster down to 10 guys for a night. and there was nothing wrong with it.
Nope. I think that was the other reason. I just, since there wasn't much Raw to talk about, I thought we should get to an actual fairly positive episode of Impact for a change. I mean, you know, it's not like I don't bag on it at all.
But I mean, to be fair, you got to give credit where credit's due, and I really, really, honestly hope this continues. I mean, I don't want to read the spoilers when we're done recording this and just go, fucking fuck, are you serious? And then just get mad again. So, we'll see. But
they will have to address that weirdo X Division title belt happenings.
I don't care. If they get rid of the X Division title and all the guys in that division, are you going to miss anybody? Shelley and Sabin, maybe.
Yeah, but not really, considering they've been misused for, what, 2-3 years at this point?
And there you go. And that's where we should end it. So, I'm going to get out of here, because it's getting late. And, So, we'll get to everyone next time. Hopefully you enjoyed an actual positive episode for a change. Later.
Okie doke, grandkids. It's time to grab my sippy time beer and enjoy a little bit of 420.